Just a few weeks ago, the Association of American Medical Colleges released their workforce study. To say the findings are alarming is an understatement. The study is predicting a shortage of anywhere from 54 to 139,000 physicians by the year of 2033. Yet we're starting to feel those effects right now. Welcome to Modern Practice, the podcast for medical and clinical leaders, where we face the pressing healthcare issues of the day. I'm your host, Dr. Tom Villanueva. And on this episode, we welcome Michael Dill with the AAMC, the organization that sponsored this study. He'll walk us through the findings and discuss what we can do to address this physician shortage. Michael, tell us a little bit about your background and your current role.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be here. Always happy to talk about the physician workforce, which is a lot about what my role is at the AAMC. I'm the director of workforce studies there. And so I head a team of data analysts and researchers that focus on anything and everything to do with the nation's physician workforce. And I've been doing that work at the AAMC for 12 and a half years now or so. And I've been doing health workforce research more broadly for well over a quarter century. In case you can't tell, I really like what I do.
I guess you can. Thanks for joining us. We're really glad you're here. So can you explain the study and what it says about the seriousness about the shortage?
Well, I can summarize the study. Explaining it would take a bit longer. Essentially, what it is that every year for the past 6 years or so, AAMC has sponsored a report looking at the future supply and demand of physicians in the United States. And what the report does is it looks at current healthcare delivery patterns and how physicians fit into that, and then projects that forward. And then it looks at a bunch of what-if scenarios. You know, what if this happens? What if that happens? For example, we know that healthcare delivery is evolving. So there's one scenario in this year's report where we say, well, what does that mean for future supply and demand? And so each year we look at a bunch of these what-if scenarios, projecting the future supply and demand of physicians out 15 years. And then we look at the range of all those what-ifs, because it's a big range, and say, what's the most likely range within that broad range? And that becomes our projected difference between physician supply and demand. This year, as you rightly noted, we're projecting a shortage of physicians anywhere from about 54 to 139,000 by 2033. Keeping in mind that that begins with the knowledge that we're already in a shortage. So essentially what we're saying is the shortage is going to get worse over time. And we've consistently been projecting that. Each year we've put out this report, which suggests that what we're finding is really robust because we're constantly updating the data, updating the research that informs the projections, looking at new scenarios. Yet again and again, what we find is that we're looking at a large and growing shortage of physicians in the U.S. over the next 10 to 15 years. And that's in primary care as well as in specialty care.
So I know my next question is hypothetical, but if you think about the pandemic and that, if I believe that number is right, about 30% of the physician pool is over the age of 60, does that even make things worse?
Yes, it does. In fact, one of the things that we've emphasized in our projections work since well before COVID-19 hit us is that the aging of the physician workforce is one of our most significant concerns. Over the next decade, we're going to get to a point where 2 out of every 5 physicians in this country are 65 years of age and older. And I want you to just stop and be with that number for a second. 2 out of every 5. So we all know that the population's aging, but we don't often think about the fact that that means the physician workforce is aging as well. And so we were already very concerned about what that meant for the available supply of physicians in this nation. Now you layer COVID on top of that. What do we see? We don't have any hard numbers on this, but we do know that it's putting an incredible stress on our physician workforce. So if you've got an older physician workforce to begin with, we have to wonder, is COVID going to make the physicians who are close to retirement age go, you know, maybe it's time? We also have to be concerned about their health because we know that older Americans are more at risk from COVID. And we know that health workers, especially professions like physicians and nurses who are dealing with COVID patients in person, are at heightened risk for getting COVID themselves. So you put that all together, and not only are we concerned about the health and welfare of physicians, but it's likely going to exacerbate a shortage we were already expecting.
I can certainly see that. And with the gray storm coming on upon us, if you will, I could see where matters could even get worse.
Indeed.
Well, how will you think primary care will be affected by this?
Well, that's an excellent question. And again, you're asking me to go out into the realm of hypotheticals, but we were already projecting a primary care shortage over the next 15 years of between around 21,000 and 55,000 physicians. And what we do know is that COVID, along with having a huge impact on sort of the work of physicians, it's having a huge economic impact on the healthcare system, and it's dramatically bad. And we are particularly concerned about smaller practices. A lot of smaller practices are primary care practices, right? And just as we know COVID is disproportionately impacting marginalized populations, it's not surprising to think that it might be the case when it comes to primary care. Where are the primary care practices that are most likely to be impacted by this? They're probably in areas that are already struggling with having enough access to care. So this is just, in my mind, one more way where the pandemic is disproportionately impacting populations that were already marginalized, already struggling with access to care. It's just in this particular case, we're talking about primary care. And if I may, one of the areas where we were particularly concerned about primary care, and this may not surprise you, is small rural practices. A lot of more rural and remote areas rely disproportionately on small primary care practices. And we know in some areas of the country, those physicians are even older than the average across the nation, which we already know is fairly old. And so we can't help but wonder if those areas won't be feeling it even more than others when it comes to small practices having to close down simply because they cannot financially get by anymore.
Not only the practices, but also hospitals in rural settings seem to be closing left and right, and especially during the pandemic as well.
Oh, an excellent point. We were already seeing rural hospital closures in just really high numbers, and I can't imagine that rural hospitals are benefiting from this, right? It's a financial hardship on hospitals across the board. The amount of money they're losing just because there are things that they can't do right now is mind-boggling. So small rural hospitals, it's got to be almost impossible.
And even when you think about the other way in reference to specialists, procedures like total hips are expected to increase by 300% in the next decade. What does the survey actually tell us about that?
We've actually tried to emphasize that our projections show that specialty care, in particular the physician specialties that treat an aging population, are going to be in highest demand in the coming years. You gave a specific example of it. As the population ages, the older population uses more healthcare and has more multiple chronic conditions, more complex care, needs more specialty care. That's just the nature of healthcare use by an aging population. So you may recall, I said that we were projecting a shortage in primary care of between 21 and 55,000 physicians in the next 15 years. We're projecting a shortage of specialty physicians of somewhere between 34 and 87,000 physicians over the next 15 years.
That's pretty alarming. We've mentioned about rural areas, but what are other geographical areas you think are going to be most affected by this in our country?
If we talk regionally, there are impacts across the nation. And essentially, wherever you see larger population growth, you're going to see faster rising demand for physicians and likely disproportionate shortages. But we're going to see shortages all over the country. I think it's actually more important to focus on underserved areas, you know, regardless of region. So we talked about rural areas, but there are underserved areas in cities too. And they're going to be disproportionately impacted, you know, as with so many things. When scarcity enters the picture, the gap between those who have access and those who don't grows. It doesn't get better. And so we're particularly concerned about growing access problems in underserved areas, in rural communities and in urban communities.
Is our present physician pool reflective of our ethnic diversity in our country?
Not nearly, no. In fact, AAMC has put out a couple reports over the past few years looking at specific instances of that. One looked at Black men in medicine, for instance, and the fact that we've essentially been flat for decades on the number of Black men entering medicine. We also put out a report looking at Native Americans and American Indians in medicine and the barriers they face to entering medicine and practicing medicine. And we're concerned about the racial and ethnic diversity of the physician workforce for any number of reasons, because it's just the workforce is not as diverse as the population. And while we don't mean to imply that the racial and ethnic composition of the workforce needs to match the population, there are all sorts of reasons why we want a more diverse workforce. And so we are concerned for those reasons.
You know, it's interesting. I practice out of the Miami-Dade part of our country in South Florida, where almost the majority of my colleagues really are Latino physicians. And when I actually share with them the shortage even among Latino physicians, they're surprised by that. So is it really, we're talking about the country as a whole versus certain regions of the country that may have a more proportionate ethnical background in reference to the physician pool?
I'm talking specifically about the nation as a whole, but I would have to look at any given more local area to be able to tell you. And I wouldn't be surprised if some areas the workforce is more diverse than in others. But that doesn't mean that somehow in those areas they're fine. There may be a higher percentage of Latinx physicians in areas like Miami, where there's a higher percentage of the population that's Latinx, but I'd be surprised if they're of a similar order of magnitude. But again, you raise a good point. We need to look at local area physician workforce issues as well as just the national picture. Our report focuses on the nation, but we have in the past and do continue to do so, a look at local area physician workforce issues as well, because each area has its own composition and its own issues and its own array of access barriers that need to be addressed. And a lot of them are tied to place.
So, Michael, how do we start addressing this issue? I mean, it's a big one.
It turns out that we lay out three main things that we need to do in the report, because it's a big problem. It's a complex problem. All problems in healthcare are complex, and they therefore require solutions that have multiple parts to them. The first thing we need to do, if we have a shortage of physicians, which we do, and which will grow worse, is we need to start producing more. That means we need to expand graduate medical education, the number of residencies we have in this country, because that's the rate limiter on how many physicians we produce in this country. Anybody who wants to practice medicine in this country has to complete a residency in this country. So if we want to produce more physicians, we need more residencies. But that's not the entire solution. We also need to make sure that we are working more in teams and effectively deploying the entire array of healthcare professionals that are out there, and that they're working well together. That's going to give us not only more effective care, but higher quality care too. And honestly, it's going to be more satisfying for all the folks in those professions. And then we need to figure out how to use technology better. There's a lot of promise in it that we just haven't realized yet. And there are some instances of people doing that, but we need to figure out how to scale those up.
I would like to address what you may think is mitigating factors for all three of these components. Like, how do we address the residency shortage? I believe that it actually takes an act of Congress, or it's all through CMS.
It's a combination of things, but the main thing is, yes, an act of Congress. The federal government funding for residencies, the biggest part of that comes through Medicare, because an aging population and the older population uses a disproportionate share of care, right? So, you know, Medicare helps make sure we've got enough physicians to provide that care. But there was a cap put on the number of residencies that they would fund back in 1997. And it hasn't changed since then. We have tens of millions more people in this country than we had then, but the cap hasn't been raised. So one of the things that could happen is that Congress could raise that cap.
Hopefully you hope that occurs. This ends part one of our discussion. Michael, thanks for joining us. In the next podcast, we'll continue to develop specific actions we can take to alleviate the looming threat of this physician shortage. And to our listeners, please join us for other Modern Practice podcasts on the Vizient Medical Leadership Channel. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. Also, please listen and subscribe to SG2 Perspectives, the podcast on the latest in healthcare strategies. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thanks for listening.